Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, is another version of the Tell Del Show, and with us today is Mark Pence out of Phoenix, Arizona. Mark has, in 5 years, accumulated 4,891 units. Not a small feat, to say the least, and has syndicated three deals himself. So we're going to have a lot of time to spend with him today to find out all about his story. So welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey, thanks, Del. It's great to be on, and I appreciate it. Looking forward to discussing.
Well, let's take it from the beginning. Tell us about yourself before you came to Lifestyles.
Sure. Little background myself. I've been married about 21 years to Jody. I've got two daughters that are 16 and 12. I grew up in just west of Cleveland, blue collar town, and middle class, pretty typical. Father worked as a fireman, and I saw him every day, just putting in hard work. I really taught myself and my other siblings just hard work and integrity and honesty, and went, like most people, had the aspirations to go to college and kind of looked at it and said, the better education I get, the better job I get, the more money I can make. So, after graduating high school, I went to college as an engineer. And you pointed out earlier how I'm pretty analytical and really enjoy understanding how things work. After college, I was in the Navy for about 4.5 years out of San Diego, and enjoyed that, but wanted more. I realized I could probably do a little bit more in the corporate America world with some of the leadership principles that I had learned, and so I left and moved into corporate America back in 1995. And corporate America just focused on climbing the ladder. I was in sales operations management for the majority of my career, and had moved around several times, had several promotions, and started realizing that I kind of had this direction that I wanted to go as being more of an entrepreneur or having my own business. And, that kind of culminated with when I found Lifestyles back in 2015 in Dallas at the time.
So it says here that you started buying single-family houses back in 2004, and that you've got most of your information from just researching books, reading books, and other type of material?
Sure. At the time, I was living in South Florida, and the housing market was incredibly hot then. So we had moved back to Phoenix, my wife and I, and we decided to rent our house out. And so that became my first movement into investing. Single family. And, luckily the house continued to go up in value. And from there, I kind of started gaining confidence in buying real estate. And like I mentioned there, I probably read 5 or 6 books. I didn't really know a lot of investors to talk to and have any mentors. I was sort of doing it on my own and my own research and trying to figure it out myself. And, luckily it turned out well. That first one went up, skyrocketed in value, and then the market crashed and it came back down a bit, but I still ended up profitable. Real estate's pretty forgiving, which I've learned.
So did you progress then into more single family houses?
Yeah, so I had moved back to Phoenix and worked with an investment group there and ended up buying 3 more single family homes around 2012, 2013. And those properties did very well. And prior to moving to Dallas in 2015, when I joined Lifestyles, I bought one more house. And after I joined Lifestyles, I was able to meet with a single family mentor and really understand how to evaluate the profitability on them and when to sell, and immediately determined I had enough equity where I should be selling three of them, and ended up selling them right away.
So if you already had your toe in the sand, what made you look into Lifestyles Unlimited?
Well, I had left my corporate job to try and start my own business back in 2014. And I learned a lot from that. Basically, the biggest lesson learned was I didn't really have cash flow when I left my my job and needed to make up, get my business up and running quickly, and ended up going back into corporate America. So that's what moved me to Dallas. And as soon as I got to Dallas, I was very interested in doing more real estate, more single family. I was going to do my day job and buy single family houses, as many as I could. And then I kept hearing the advertisements for Lifestyles on the radio. And I finally went to the 2-hour seminar and, met with the instructor there, and she had done 2 or 3 houses herself and talked about the process and how she did it and, what the cash flows were, and just took the steps, to join and went to the 2-day. And that really got me into the position where I am today to understand a roadmap, understand how to evaluate, profitability, and really kickstart me into where I am now, into multifamily.
So that's 5 years ago. Do you remember the 2-day that you went to? Do you remember the highlights, the aha moments, I call it, the light bulb moments, the thing that goes on and goes, man, that's what I've been doing wrong. That's the ticket right there that's going to make it all work.
Absolutely. I did the 2-day with David Fisher, and it's more than just learning about real estate. I learned how to position my finances and, not rely on the stock market. But the biggest takeaway was just getting cash flow properties. That way, no matter what the market's doing, if it's cash flowing, you just hang on to it. If the market goes down, it'll come back. And, you have an opportunity when it goes down to buy more real estate. But that cash flow and understanding how to evaluate and buy the right properties was the biggest takeaway.
Gotcha. You were doing at the time single family. What were your thoughts after you went the 2-day where they talked about multifamily? Did that sway you at all?
It absolutely did. I remember coming home that night, calling my wife and saying, oh my gosh, we're just going to buy a ton of single family homes. And then the 2-day on Sunday, I learned about how to drive the value in multifamily. So just understanding how, net operating income works and how that creates value and different levers you can pull to create that value. From that point on, I decided I was going to move all from single family to multifamily. It just created a better opportunity to go faster and create more value.
So you moved very quickly into being a lead investor, as we call it here at Lifestyles, a syndicator, if you're not from Lifestyles. Obviously, you had your first deal by 2015. You joined just during that same year. So how did you get into a deal so quickly?
So as I made that decision after the 2-day to move to multifamily, I was still in Dallas at the time and just started meeting, shaking hands with all the leads, really learning how the process works, and started freeing up as much equity as possible. Just through various sources, selling the houses and what I had in stocks and bonds, and move that into passive deals. And really my intent was to stay as a passive investor. And the more I did it, the more road trips and case studies I saw, I visited properties and really understood how the business worked. And I've always loved managing a P&L and managing a business and leveraging a team to be successful. And from, the obvious point there, or the next path, was to become a lead. And so I started thinking in 2016, 2017, that's the direction I wanted to go. But at the time, my wife wanted to move back to Phoenix. So my company that I was working for moved me back to another position. And I just stayed at a position that I could do well at with minimal hours and was able to focus on my real estate. And that's where I moved into the lead position and built up some passive investors, and found my first property.
All right, well, that's a good place. That's a good place to take a break right there, because they're going to kick us out the back end for radio commercials. So we'll be right back with Mark Petz and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Wamsley talks about finding that one thing that made sense for the lifestyle.
I looked at franchises. I looked at multi-level marketing. I looked at everything in the world. But nothing made as much sense as buying one simple little rental property.
Real estate is your best option. Real estate makes sense. Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your first rental property. Join our live online free workshop to find out more. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is Mark Petz from Phoenix, Arizona. Mark is currently a lead investor, which in the outside world is called a syndicator. And he owns 3 apartment complexes as the lead investor. And he also is in 22 different passive deals. Now, Mark, I'm going to bring this back a little bit here. And when you first joined up, you went out and started doing passive deals. 22 of them is quite a few of them to get done right away. Let's talk about how you aligned yourself to start finding these deals. And then we'll get into what metrics you used to pick which ones you wanted.
Sure. The way I found the deals that I wanted to engage with was going to all of the lifestyles meetings. There were typically meetings for road trips and educational times. And in those meetings, you would have the opportunity to actually meet the lead syndicators. So at any one time in Dallas, there would be maybe 20 or 30 different syndicators leads, and you could talk to them about what their background is, shake hands with them, and get a sense for what type of business leader they would be. And through that process, I was able to make those contacts and get on their list. So when they had deals that they found the right property and had a business plan, I could evaluate that and go ahead and deploy capital into those deals. And it was very rewarding to be able to meet the person who's actually doing it versus trying to invest in a stock where you don't know who the fund manager is from your neighbor. It was always random. So you had a chance to really know their background and pick the right person and the right deal. And to answer your question on understanding which ones to invest with, it was really a combination of getting to know who that business manager lead was going to be and the property itself, and looking at the numbers, the pro formas, what the business plan was to get there, whether it was adding value to the property or operations play, but really at a full 360 view of what you're getting into before you invested.
So did you put more weight on, and I call these the horse or the jockey, the horse being the deal, the jockey being the person that makes it win or not, which did you put more weight on, the horse or the jockey?
I would say 1 or 2 years ago, I was more focused on the property itself. But as I learned more and more, I would lean a little bit more, probably 60-40 towards the jockey, the person putting the deal together, because if they've got the experience and the know-how, they're going to pick the right property for you, and you can trust their pro forma numbers are going to be accurate and potentially exceed what they forecast they're going to be able to do with the property.
As you got into it in the beginning, did you have an outlined plan as to what types of deals you wanted to get into as, let's say, a value play compared to a yield play, a capital gains play compared to a cash flow play, or possibly a hybrid of the two. Did you have a plan about that, or were you just picking whatever you could find as it came up?
I did have a plan. Since I still had a job at the time, I focused on value plays or more hybrid, leaning on value, so really increasing, you know, the capital return. So those were the types of deals that, you know, I was looking for ones where I could, you know, double my money in 2-3 years and focus on just increasing net worth and then being able to redeploy that, you know, after 2-3 years, redeploy that into 2 more deals.
Great. Now, you've had 22 of these passive deals. I think I saw on your resume that you had 8 of them sold already?
Yes, that's correct.
What kind of return did you get out of those?
So all of them really exceeded my expectations. I, you know, did my first deal back in, first couple back in 2015. And, you know, just looking down the line, they were, almost all of them were able to double my investments in, you know, a good probably three to four year time frame. Most of the pro formas predicted 4 to 6, but most of them exceeded that time frame and were able to deliver.
Well, that's good. The stuff that you're still in, is it just set up to get out of it later on down the line, or is it set up to stay in place for a long period of time?
So all the deals that I'm in, they're typically a 3 to 5 or 5 to 7 year hold. And the way the market's been so strong, most of them are in Texas and in Arizona. I've got a couple in Atlanta and Mobile, Alabama, and Kansas. But the majority of them are exceeding pro forma, where they're either doing a cash-out refi at that 2 to 3 year point where I'm getting the majority of my money back, or selling at that 3 to 4 year point where, you know, I'm more than doubling my initial investment. So it's been a great run, and the properties I'm still holding are cash flowing and paying out anywhere from 7 to 10% quarterly distributions. So it's a great combination where I'm getting those quarterly checks and I'm, you know, seeing the value increase as the NOI goes up in the properties and the, you know, the leads doing their job, working with the property management to increase the value of it.
Now, you did your first syndication that you ran as a lead in 2018, so that's 3 years after you joined. I take you did most of these 22 passives during that first 3 years?
I've actually been investing some, doing both. I've been redeploying some of the money from the passive investments back into more passive, and then taking some of that money as well and doing my own lead deals. So at the sell, I've had enough doubling effect where I've been able to do both. So I'm kind of going on 2 different paths at the same time.
All right. So then my next question is, what triggered you to want to change over and be a syndicator yourself?
It's really just wanting to learn more. I just have a constant desire to learn and grow. And I felt like being a lead would fulfill that desire to take a team and, you know, bring it together towards one goal and, you know, be successful at it. So after touring properties and talking to people, I could only learn so much. So I hit that trigger point where I needed to do it to get to the next level of understanding the business. And that was really the drive towards, you know, being a lead investor.
Were you still working at your job at the time?
Yes, I actually was. After the second deal, I was able to leave corporate America and just run my business and work on managing finances and deals. And it's been a great experience.
All right, Mark, well, we're going to go to another break now. When we get back, we're going to have more about Mark's deals that he's actually syndicated and where he wants to go with his investment future. We'll be right back with Mark Petz and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Del
Wamsley talks about positive cash flow tax-free.
I bought one little rent house. So a month later, I bought three more. Now I started receiving even more positive cash flow. $880 a month positive cash flow after just 2 months. This cash flow was tax-free because of the way I did it. Because if you know how to do it the right way, you won't pay taxes on that.
Give yourself a raise tax-free. Find out how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register today at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is Mark Petz out of Phoenix, Arizona. Mark has been a single-family investor. He has been a passive multifamily investor, and now he is a syndicator, or what we call a lead investor, on three different deals. And he continues to passively invest while he is still a lead investor. So as we went to break, Mark, I told you we want to come back, and let's talk now about your first deal you syndicated. Tell us what it was like psychologically and structurally for you to get ready to syndicate a deal. What did your mind have to go through? What did you and your wife have to discuss? I mean, that's a big step to say, I'm going to start a business.
Yes, it was, I'll be honest, psychologically, it was a big hurdle to get over, and the beauty of it was, I had all these team members around me that that I met through Lifestyles and in the marketplace to really help analyze the deal, make sure it was a good deal. And the mentor team was able to look at it and get me over the finish line to say, this is the right deal. This is the one you should go for.
And did they have to talk you off the ledge?
Exactly. You're standing at the ledge and you know you need to jump. You know it's the right thing to do. And just having that team around you gave you the confidence. And I took all the education that Lifestyles offered, so it really prepared me to analyze the deal. But you still need that mentor, or you still need some other friends that you meet in the group just to say, yeah, this looks good. If you don't buy it, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, that's something
really
I started.
Psyche behind it.
That's a statement I started 30 years ago, man. If you don't buy it, I will. And I meant it. But the bottom line is, were you surprised how open everybody was? Not just the mentors who are there to help you, but all the other members, how open they are to share their information and what they know with you?
Absolutely. A lot of the leads that I worked with as a passive, I was able to reach out to them, just get their take and understanding of various elements along the path to the deal, and it was invaluable knowing I could talk to someone who's already been there and them sharing exactly how they did it and applying that to my property. It was extremely valuable.
How preemptive were you on starting your list of potential investors for your first deal? Would you start 2 months, 6 months, a year earlier than when you went after your deal?
I actually had a pretty early start. I was still in Dallas at the time. I didn't move back to Phoenix till the summer of 2017. So I had a good, after Expo, probably another, several months to start building that list. And then I continued building it as I moved back to Phoenix. But so I had a good runway to get some investors on my list.
Going to Expo, that's a good point. What did you think when you walked into the room and there was 250 leads in a room and thousands of investors? What went through your mind?
I mean, it's an incredible opportunity. There's so many people to meet and learn from, and opportunity. You just see opportunity everywhere. You talk to people and how they did it, and you realize, wow, I need to jump on this, and I need to take some action. And, that's what I did. I very methodical. I overanalyzed everything, but I knew the path and I knew I needed to take action. And meeting the people who have done it gives you all the confidence in the world.
Did it stimulate you to want to be a lead investor?
Absolutely. It's a matter of understanding the background of the leads you meet. It's a pretty big variety, but, based on what I've done in my career, and what I knew it took, it was definitely something that was something I could accomplish, and it gave me the confidence that, I could do it based on my experiences and my background.
Was it a value play or a yield play for the first deal you went after?
It was really a mix. It was more of a hybrid play, and it had some value-added elements in the property. I did some upgrades, added some appliances, some washer and dryers in the unit, and just various touches around the building, new roof. I put in some solar screens and added some landscaping and just created some value for those residents and the future residents, allowing us to increase rents based on that value.
What kind of results have you gotten so far? And you did this one in 2018, so you've had two years on the first one?
Yeah, so this one closed, just over 2 years ago. We bought it for $3.7 million, and I'm actually meeting with various brokers around town to get some valuations, but based on their opinion of value, it's in that mid $6.5 million range, not quite double the value, so that really is triggering an opportunity for us to, my partners, the passes in the deal to, decide on the next step, which likely will be to sell the property.
So let's just, for the audience's sake, let's help them go through the numbers for a second. Now, you said 6.5. The resume says 5.5, so I assume it must have gone up some more since you wrote this resume type deal. But you paid 3.7 for it. You say it's worth 6.5. So let's just say it simply went up about $3 million. How much money, down payment and rehab, out-of-pocket-wise total, did your partnership or LLC put into this deal? What was the total invested money?
So we put in about $1.6 million into the deal.
So if you actually do come up and end up with a $3 million gain, capital gains-wise, you're talking about a 200% return capital gains-wise in simply two and a half, 3 years. That's unheard of. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly some expenses involved with selling it, the broker's fees and a small loan prepayment. But when you do the math, it lands you in well over doubling everyone's money that they put in the deal, and very much ahead of the five-year plan I had since we're sitting at year two.
And that's in addition to the cash flow, right?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been cash flowing around, I think we're going to be at 8% this quarter. So even with some of the challenges with COVID, it's still cash flowing pretty decently. And on top of that, we have had some help with the market, and Phoenix has been on fire, so that's helping as well on the valuation. But yeah, it'll be a nice win for all of my partners and myself.
Let's talk about the second deal you did. Tell us about that one.
Yes. Yeah, so the second deal came about. It was brokers that I had worked with on the first deal. It's actually walking distance to the first property. It's about the same size. It's a 44 unit. And that property had been going through, the majority of it had been rehabbed. And the opportunity I saw was based on the rents I knew in that submarket, because at that point I had a very strong pulse on what I could achieve. It was a little bit of a value play to finish out the upgrades on the remaining units, which is only about 10% of them. And then on top of that was really just bring the rents up to market. And it's been a phenomenal deal. It didn't require as much capital, but we're getting very solid returns on this property as well.
So that was, what was the date, 2019 on that one. This third one you just did then, huh? Just recently?
Yeah, the third one closed right in the middle of the pandemic. And it was an interesting story. I started pursuing it, this property, back in early in January and February, made some offers, really was not the winner, and kind of forgot about it and went on to the next property to start evaluating. And then COVID hit, so we had all the lockdowns in March, and one of the brokers tipped me off and said, hey, the first two guys that were ahead of you bailed, and let me know if you're still interested. And so we started talking, and I rewrote some numbers, came in with a lower offer, and the sellers didn't accept it, and re-looked at the whole picture on it and said, you know what, I want this property. It's going to be a good property, and ended up coming back to my original offer and got the deal and closed it back in August of 2020.
Excellent. Three great stories, and all done pretty rapidly. When we come back, we're going to talk about what the future looks like for Mr. Mark Petz and the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Will be right back. my friends. How many of you out there right now believe you have a plan? I followed the conventional plan for years, and then the conventional plan blew up in my face. I wonder how many of you can relate to that exact same thing. The real question is, how many of you have actually figured out how to turn that thing around and make it happen?
Do you have a plan? Lifestyles Unlimited has one for you. It's worked for countless others. Retire in 5 years or less. Come learn more. Join us for our live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del is Mark Petz out of Phoenix, Arizona. Mark currently has three syndications under his belt, one that just recently closed, 22 passive deals, eight of which have sold, and total units of 4,891 units at this time. And as we come back to break here, what we want to talk about with Mark is what does the future look like for you, Mark? In fact, we'll take one step back from that. Which deal was it that you retired, the second syndication deal, and what did that look like? How did you know you were ready to retire?
I was actually at a position where my cash flow after about 2 years between cash flow and capital gains was exceeding my income, probably at that three-year point. And as I moved into my third deal and had that under contract, I knew I was in good shape to move out of corporate America and start focusing on doing real estate investing full time. And really kind of the trigger point too was I had been talking to Lynn Murrow, executive VP for Lifestyles, about mentoring in the Phoenix office, which had opened up, and decided that I would leave my corporate job and move into that role and help others, you know, go down the path that I did. It just seems like the logical thing to do, and because it gives me great joy to do that. And that was the trigger point, just a combination of my passive income and, you know, knowing that I could help others helped me pull the trigger.
Well, there's a lot of satisfaction in that, is there not?
Absolutely. I enjoy it every day. And at this point in trying to grow the kind of the Southwest and the Phoenix, Arizona market, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm probably working with at least a dozen different investors right now on whether they're buying an IRO property or working on their first or second lead deal. And it's a great group of people to work with, that's for sure.
It seems to me that Phoenix is so centrally located in the west of the country that you guys pull a lot of California clients into there?
Absolutely. Just in general, 50-60% of the deals that go down in Phoenix are from California, and you know, those investors know Phoenix as a great market, and it's a lot more friendly as far as investing in real estate, and the returns, the yields are so much stronger, and it's becoming extremely popular. We're getting investors from all over at this point, and some of the East Coasters are waking up to it as well, so it's definitely a focus point for many different investors.
Now, I haven't been there in a long time. My mother died there. She lived there until she died, I guess is the way I should say it. And I remember, you know, Central Phoenix, and then I remember the Camelback area. Then I remember up north was where all the seniors lived. I don't remember the name of the area, but it was subdivisions and areas that were pretty much dominated by seniors. But it seemed to me that there was a bunch of towns that were just right outside of Phoenix that Phoenix was growing into. Is that all kind of consolidated now?
Yeah, the Phoenix metro area, I mean, outside of the city of Phoenix, there's Scottsdale, Tempe, Chandler, Gilbert, Mesa, Glendale, lots of very large suburbs of Phoenix. And the amount of jobs coming into each of them is incredible. It's very diversified depending what part of town you're in. And, you know, the population growth from those jobs is just tremendous. There's over 80,000 people moving into the metro area each year, so it's growing like gangbusters.
So you say you've got about 12 different projects that you're helping with people right now?
Yes, there's a lot that they're actually selling their single family and look to move that capital into their own property, a smaller multifamily, maybe a 10 or 15 unit somewhere in Arizona. And then we've also got a half dozen other members that are looking to do what I did and move into that first deal. And mentors and other members did for me, I want to do for them as far as, you know, looking at their numbers and giving them the confidence it's a good deal and it's the right direction to go and jump off that ledge.
Well, speaking of ledges, there was one more question I wanted to ask you. You did two deals at 40 units, which were about $3 million deals plus. Then this last deal was 92 units. It was $12 million. Was that a little scary to go from $3 million deals to $12 million deals?
It was, but it wasn't. Something we talk about all the time in lifestyles is just, you know, stepping up to the next size. And it actually is the same process. It was just as easy to do that deal. In fact, that third deal was probably the easiest to accomplish. And it was just using the same roadmap, and you just follow that and you're good.
Yeah, it's definitely easier to run a 90 unit than a 40 unit. There's no doubt about that. The economics of scale and the staff that you have available to you makes it a lot easier. So that's a good thing. What's the future look like for the Pets family?
So the Pets family is going to continue investing in real estate. I have almost zero money outside of real estate invested. Just continue with the cash flows. I'm going to continue the passive investing. I'm looking for my fourth property this year to close on. And that's going to be what's going to take up a lot of my time, just finding that right deal. And, you know, I think over the next 4 or 5 years, spend time with my kids before, if they choose to leave and go off to college, I want to spend time with them and with my family and travel and continue investing in real estate. It's treated me well, and that's, you know, the path I'm going to stay on.
Excellent. All right, my friend, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us, and I definitely appreciate you out there working as a mentor. I mean, there's nothing more important than giving back. And by the way, for all of those who are listening, a part of my spiel to people is that until you have enough money and enough time to give some of it away, to give some of it back to other people, then you're not and cannot consider yourself financially free. Financially free means you have more than enough for yourself and enough to share with other people. Mark, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. For the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.